Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. Boy, a lot going on in the world, and if the Israel and Gaza still going at it, there's an interesting piece in today's Financial Times about whether the big winner in this may end up being Hamas. We'll see. Hopefully this is a situation that can be resolved and resolved quickly. We talked about it at length for 3 hours yesterday. I'm sure that it's probably going to be pretty impossible to avoid, not that I'm trying to, but to avoid the topic today. It's just this is a big issue that is really going on. But at the same time, I want to look back a little at a situation here in the United States that we have not dealt with appropriately. And in fact, frankly, I don't think most Americans even know about. A.C. Thompson is with us. He's an award-winning investigative journalist on the staff of ProPublica.org, and he's also written whose article, Katrina's Hidden Race War, is featured in The Nation magazine, thenation.org as well. And A.C., welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
You interviewed a number of people. The interviews, I think, this was about basically white vigilantes going on a rampage during Katrina. And let me just open this for our listeners with a little less than a minute of one of your interviews with one of the African-Americans who encountered one of these vigilante groups and survived it. A number of them didn't survive it. Here, and you can tell us who this is and what this is all about after I play this clip. Here we go.
You know, I was talking to my cousin and our friend, and I was telling them that, we finally about to get out of here. You know, I was talking, so my cousin was on the side of me, on the right side, and I looked down at my arms and everything, and because, some of the shots hit me in my arm, my chest, my neck, my stomach, and I just saw blood everywhere.
And I'm trying to pick him up, the shots again, so I fell. And Danielle trying to get up, and we all were trying, we panicking now.
And he was like hollering, like, you okay, you're all right? And he was, like I said, he was pretty hysterical, man. And when I, when I saw the guy, when I actually recognized the guy with the shotgun, it was like he was reloading or something.
Yeah, so this is the first hit he's been fired at. And then you interviewed some of the folks that were doing the shooting, and that's even more bizarre.
You had to do what you had to do, You had to shoot somebody, you had to shoot somebody.
And so, A.C., give us the background on this. I got a few more clips here to play as we continue through the show. But
So in the first clip, that's Don L. Harrington and his cousin Marcel Alexander. And the deal with them is they were trying to get out of New Orleans right after the storm hit. This was about 3 days after the storm hit. And they were walking through a neighborhood called Algiers Point, which sits on the west bank of the Mississippi, away from central New Orleans. And they were trying to get to an evacuation site set up by the National Guard, where the Guard was busing flood victims to Texas. They wanted to get out of town. And as they walked into this neighborhood, Algiers Point, which is a small, predominantly white, middle-class kind of neighborhood, they encountered a group of men who, according to Donnell and Marcel, without any warning, without saying anything, without any prelude whatsoever, began shooting them with a shotgun. Now, their story about being shot is as verifiable as you can get, because I interviewed the surgeon who saved Donnell's life, and I have about 100 pages of his medical records. So I can tell you without a doubt he was shot and very nearly killed. And Marcel has scars from where shotgun pellets hit him.
Right. Well, in addition to that, you've got the voices of the white guys who are doing the shooting. Here's one.
I am no longer a Yankee.
No.
I earned my
wing.
He
understands the N-word now.
I learned my wing.
And this, you know, bragging about having shot somebody, and in fact, it even goes a little farther than that. I mean, they just
you had to do what you had to do. You know? You had to shoot somebody, you had to shoot somebody.
And there was this perception. In fact, this is another one. It was like pheasant hunting season in South Dakota.
It was great.
It was great.
It was like pheasant season in South Dakota.
Right on.
If it moved,
oh,
you shot it.
That's not a pheasant. We're not in South Dakota. What's wrong with this picture?
Yeah. If it moved, you shot it.
And I should clarify that the voices that you hear of there, the vigilantes, who are people that I interviewed, I don't think that they are the exact gunmen who shot Marcel and Donnell. What I think, because I showed that footage to Marcel and Donnell, the video footage that I had, and I said, hey, are these the guys who shot you? They're describing scenarios that sound a lot like the shooting you guys were targeted in. And Marcel and Donnell said, nah, I don't think those are the guys that shot me, which, you know, actually ended up kind of being more evidence that the pattern was larger than just Marcel, Donnell, and their friend Chris, who were shot at the same time, but that there were multiple shootings by multiple gunmen, and this out of this group of about 15 to 30 white militia vigilante types.
What's the best guess or the best number that you have of the number of African Americans who were actually murdered during this time by white vigilante groups here
you know,
in Katrina?
As far as murders go, New Orleans, I'm not. I don't know. You know, it could be a couple. It could be more than that. And I'm not totally sure. What I can tell you is that in interviews, eyewitnesses, people who were either shot, people who did the shooting, or people who were right on the scene as the shooting occurred and could identify the gunman, described to me scenarios in which 11 African American males were shot. Now, could some of these have been overlapping incidents? Yes, it's possible. Could the number be higher? Yes, that's possible as well. But what I can tell you is that, you know, these people described what sounded like separate incidents to me involving different numbers of people on different street corners at different times with different weapons.
Are there any morgue statistics or were bodies simply washed out to sea?
Well, you know, this is an area that was Alger's Point is an area that was dry, and that's part of where this conflict comes from, is their area here was not flooded. It was a place that that people who were on the other side of the river, people who were in flooded zip codes, were trying to get to. And that's why the evacuation center was set up there. But what you had is this group of white folks who took up arms, who were, you know, by their own words, the people I interviewed, who were basically terrified of anyone who was coming into their neighborhood who was an outsider. And a lot of times that meant black folks.
Right. And to that point, here's another clip of one of the white vigilantes that you interviewed.
What happens in other parts of this state, I don't know about. But
we don't
here,
care about. But in this neighborhood, we take care of our own.
We sent them back into wherever they came from and said, don't come back. You know what? Alger's Point is not a pussy community.
Donnell told me.
So there you go. Sorry.
And you know, as far as deaths go, let me clarify that from looking at state death records, that shows that there was at least four bodies collected in that area, which would seem to be suspicious because there was no flooding there, and most people died in areas that were flooded. They died most people died by drowning. So when you find people who are dead, and I have video footage of people who are dead on the streets in that area, who, you know, people who saw these corpses up close believe they were shot, it looks very suspicious. One vigilante from that neighborhood told me he believed that four people had been killed, and he said that he, in fact, had encountered some of these bodies, and one of them was bloody in the face, and this kind of thing.
AC, we just have a half a minute left here. Is anything being done about this?
You know, the latest here is that the New Orleans Police Department last week announced that the chief of police himself is investigating this issue, and they have urged anyone with information to come forward.
That's a good
step. To the NOPD.
That's a good step. That's very good to hear. I mean, the clips.
We walked the streets. We had sidearms. Yeah, you had no choice.
So, you know, we had sidearms. You had no choice. Whoa. So, anyhow, people can read this over at The Nation, thenation.org, and is it Publica or Publica?
Either one.
Okay, either one. Yeah, the Latin, I guess, would be ProPublica, ProPublica.org, the website. A.C. Thompson's brilliant piece, Katrina's Hidden Race War. Check it out. A.C., thanks for the great work you did, and thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, thank you.
Good talking with you. 16 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman Program, 866-303-2270, or telephone number. Be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Truth is his weapon. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
All right, let's get down to some direct talk from DirecTV. At a time when the cost of almost everything around you is spiraling out of control, DirecTV puts you back in control with this amazing offer that locks in your price until 2010. Right now, you can get over 150 digital channels of DirecTV for just $29.99 a month for a full year. For a limited time, ask how to get 3 free months of HBO, Stars, and Showtime. That's 28 of the best premium movie channels free for 3 whole months. Lock in your savings until 2010 by switching to DirecTV today. Don't miss out. Call today. 888-561-DIRECTV. 888-561-DIRECTV. Call right now to get over 150 digital channels of DirecTV for just $29.99 a month for 12 months. 888-561-DIRECTV. Offer ends 12/31/08 and subject to credit approval. $23 bill credit requires rebate and enrollment in auto bill pay program. New DirecTV customers only. Leasing credit card required. Other conditions apply. Call for details.
Are you waking up with Carl Wolfson and friends?
These are less popular suggestions. Abrahound Lincoln.
6 to 9.
The Obama's first dog. What name it could be?
Promise. Because he promised the girls and he promised us.
Elephant eater.
How about lipstick?
How about rogue?
You've got to have southpaw.
I'd like to give it a local name and name it Mutt Safino, the weather dog.
It's Carl Wolfson.
As Abrahound Lincoln said.
Morning 6 to 9.
AM 620 KPOJ.
Portland's only progressive talk station.
This is Captain Jim Sloan of the Salvation Army. This year has been a particularly hard year for us. We've had a 50% increase in requests for basic human services like food and toys for children at Christmas time, and we're seeing new clients as people are pushed into poverty. The Salvation Army is responding as we have for the last 122 years in the Portland metro area, but we need your help. Please call our give line, 503-238-GIVE, 503-238-4483, or find us online at tsacascade.org and make a difference. God bless you.
It happened on the highway. We just bought my son this used car with great gas mileage. An 18-wheeler was coming the other way. When it passed, that big gust of wind blew the hood off the car into the windshield. Smashed it. Fortunately, no one was hurt. It turns out the car had been salvaged. I put my son in a salvaged car.
Never buy a used car without Carfax. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax vehicle history report. Or go online. Who knows what it'll save you.
How to prevent a sweater avalanche. Step 1. Barricade your closet door and head directly to the Home Depot. Step 2. Stock up on storage totes, shelving, and more. Step 3. Show your closet and your wallet who's boss.
The Home Depot has the lowest prices on hundreds of storage solutions. Get 2 18-gallon bins for $6.88 and clear shoebox totes for only 99 cents each. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. U.S. only while supplies last.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe 3 times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Transforming the world by revitalizing democracy. It's the Tom Hartman radio program brought to you in part by the Teamsters. Proudly supporting the Employee Free Choice Act, Teamster.org, the website. Check it out. Politico is reporting, this from the Huffington Post, Politico is reporting that RNC candidate Chip Salzman's distribution of a song called Barack the Magic Negro has not only not killed his chances to be head of the RNC. In fact, the scandal may have inadvertently helped him win chairmanship of the RNC. Believe it or not, most of Salzman's rivals for the chairmanship have condemned his actions, but other party members are rallying to his side. Mark Ellis, chairman of the Maine Republican Party. He says, when I found out what this was all about, I had to ask, boy, what's the big deal here? Because there wasn't any. Who are you calling boy, Mark? Alabama Republican Committee Chairman Paul Reynolds said the fact that Salzman sent him a CD with a song on didn't bother me one bit. Republicans say that the current RNC chair, Mike Duncan, is only hurting himself by denouncing the song, while Ken Blackwell improved his position by defending Salzman. Ken Blackwell, the African-American former Secretary of State of Ohio who wants to become the head of the RNC. This is downright strange. Downright strange. Other words come to mind, but I'll leave it at that. A couple things from the Financial Times today that I wanted to share with you that I thought were of particular interest, you know, broadly. Just first of all, this piece by Rula Khalaf in today's Financial Times. In fact, I think it was on page 2 or 4. Why Israel's military option is likely to backfire. She writes, the so-called moderates in the Arab world are not likely to emerge bolstered from this crisis. And this is what I was talking about. This is my concern. Mahmoud Abbas, the weakened Palestinian leader that Israel wants to make peace with, is going to be undermined, will be further undermined. Worse yet, in fact, you know, as he faces the rage of Palestinians and the broader Arab public, worse yet, because, see, right now, anybody who's perceived as an ally with Israel, from the Muslim point of view, from the point of view of the Arab street or the Muslim street, I mean, there's a lot of Muslims who are not Arabs. You get down into Indonesia, Southeast Asia. In any case, it's going to be very problematic, and which includes us, by the way. Worse yet, this crisis risks turning Arabs as much against their own powerless leaders as against Israel. For example, this is and she says this is the intention of Saeed Hassan Nasrallah, the Hezbollah chief, who called on Sunday for huge protests across the Arab and Islamic world. So here's Hezbollah already jumping on this, trying to make hay out of it, and they will. Mr. Nasrallah unleashed much of his fury against Egypt, virtually calling for the overthrow of its regime. Why? Because Egypt is arguably supporting Israel and keeping keeping Gaza bottled up. The Bush administration's supportive reaction will also make it harder for Mr. Obama to restore America's tarnished image in the region. She points out it wasn't so long ago that the Middle East was celebrating the U.S. election, expecting diplomacy to replace the use of force as the means of solving the region's problems. Speculation was rife that Israel and Syria would soon announce the launch of direct peace negotiations. Remember this? While the U.S. would prepare for dialogue with Iran. Meanwhile, George Bush says he's not leaving his vacation. Just like he wouldn't leave his vacation when Katrina was happening, just like he wouldn't leave his vacation. I mean, it's just, when he was told in August that 9/11 was going to happen, look out, you better do something. The CIA sent a guy down to Crawford to personally tell him. He pats the guy on the butt and says, pats him on the head and says, you've done a good job of covering your ass. Go back to Langley. So virtually a verbatim quote. So the Bush administration dropped the ball on 9/11. Why hasn't that meme been picked up by the media, by the way? Because George W. Bush didn't want to take off his vacation. Well, not because, but that was a piece of it. Now he doesn't want to take off this vacation. Could it be that really he doesn't want to take off his vacation because he was consulted with by the Israelis before this happened and said, yeah, go do it. Do it before Obama comes into office. Rula Khalaf says, sadly, the likely outcome of this assault is this in today's Financial Times, is that the very forces it is intended to undermine, that would be Hamas and radical Islam around the world, could gain the most. And the voices who argue on both the Arab and the Israeli side for a peaceful resolution of the Middle East conflict will be the losers. And Netanyahu will be one of the big winners. I think so. I think so. And, which, on the other hand, you know, what do you do when people are throwing rockets at you all the time? And there are two sides to this that both need to be acknowledged. And I'm getting equal opportunity. Oh, my God, I can't believe you said that. Emails from people. But I this is not a black and white situation. There are a lot of shades of gray all over this thing. The IMF also is the International Monetary Fund is saying, hey, wait a minute. Don't give tax cuts to the rich in order to stimulate your economies. You believe it? They said there's a strong case for doing too much rather than too little. This is Olivier Blanchard, the fund's chief economist. But he added tax cuts should be aimed at people likely to spend money rather than save it. In other words, cut taxes on working people. Don't cut taxes on rich people. This is from the International Monetary Fund. 27 minutes past the hour.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Blindingly logical. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you, helping you win the water cooler wars. 866-303-2270, our telephone number, our live chat room up and running, free live chat room. So those of you who are listening to the show live, there are all kinds of bells and whistles, free live video stream, free live chat room. Of course, you can call into the program, and the lines are all full right now. We will be with the callers in just a moment. First, this report from the wire services, just days after the news broke, that former GOP Tennessee GOP leader Chip Saltzman had released a song parody entitled Barack the Magic Negro, the Republican National Committee issued what it called an official apology to America's Negroes. In the statement, the RNC ripped Saltzman's song, calling it tone-deaf, unacceptable, and offensive to every Negro in the country. The RNC statement continued to say, we do not want one ill-considered song parody to create the wrong impression. The Republican Party has always been and will always be the friend of the Negro. But while the RNC's official statement was designed to quell the outrage surrounding Mr. Saltzman's song, it may have created a controversy of its own. Just hours after releasing the official apology, the RNC issued a second apology, apologizing for the first apology. It has come to our attention that we misused a word in our first apology, the RNC statement said. We should have capitalized the word Negro. No, this is not. You know what's so bizarre is that a Andy Borowitz parody like this could be taken seriously, because it's like, you know, you've got all these Republicans coming out going, I don't see any problem with it. I think Chip Salt, I think this is funny. Man. And you juxtapose this with the fact that people in New Orleans Some of them, you know, several of the people that A.C. Thompson interviewed, by the way, lived in the community. This was not just a white community. This was a white and African-American, white and black community. And some of the African-Americans in that community that he interviewed said they were afraid to leave their houses because their neighbors who were white were running around with guns shooting anybody who moved who was black. And yet the edge of this neighborhood was where the army was picking people up to take them to Houston. You had to go through this neighborhood to get there. And so, you know, in the meantime, you had, you know, basically hunting season. I mean, it was absolutely terrible.
We sent them back into wherever they came from and said, don't come back.
Yeah, they did. And this is truly a horrific situation. And with that being the state of race relations in this country, the guy who wants to be the chairman of the Republican National Committee is sending out a CD to all the people who can vote for him and all of his friends for Christmas, I guess, with Barack the Magic Negro on it. I mean, how sick and twisted and lame is that? And then other Republicans are coming out going, we got no problem with this. Ken Blackwell. You would think he would have some sense. No, he just wants to be chairman of the RNC. He doesn't care. 866-303-2270, your telephone number. Robert in Baltimore, Maryland. Hey, Robert, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. Tone deaf indeed, huh?
Yeah.
I had a question on the story you presented at the top of the hour. I understand that Blackwater came through and disarmed the residents of the city. Did they disarm those vigilante whites in at Algiers Point as well?
Not to the best of my knowledge, although I'm not the guy who did the reporting. You'd have to read A.C. Thompson's piece. I've read the story, though. It's been a week or two since I read it, and I recall no reference to that at all. But A.C. would be the guy to answer your question. But it's a good one, Robert. I'm guessing, I would be willing to bet that the only people who were disarmed were African Americans. I would be willing to bet that. Ken in Long Beach, California. Hey, Ken, what's on your mind?
Oh, yes, Tom. Well, I was thinking about, you were talking the other day about, you know, Walter Cronkite, back in the 50s, 60s, they made like him and people, you know, even top movie stars made like maybe $100,000 a year, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think he made $35,000 a year. Today they would probably make like $35 million a year. And then I was also hearing Barbara Walters' interview with the, cigar-chomping Republican Rush Limbaugh saying, well, I get a percentage of the cut. You know, it sounds like Al Capone or something, you know.
Yeah.
I was wondering if that's one of the reasons why these salaries have exploded. I mean, some of these baseball players get salaries that sounds like the gross national product of a small country or something, you know.
The reason the salaries have exploded, Ken, is because they can do it, because it's practical. And the reason that they can do it and it's practical is because the top marginal tax rate on people earning over $3.2 million has been reduced from 70% down to 36%.
What about that percentage of the cut business? And even though Clearwater, Limbaugh Station, you know, is losing money, Barbara Walters asked him, you make so much money. He said, well, you know, I get a percentage of the cut. When did that start where they're getting a percentage? Like movie stars now, they get a percentage. They don't get like a salary. You know, Mickey Rooney made like 20 movies a year or something. You know, I think he's still alive or something, but they didn't get anywhere near $20 million, even adjusted for inflation, anything like that.
No, I mean, there's a lot of the actors from the 30s, 40s, and 50s, and even the 60s are not incredibly wealthy today, and there's a whole generation of child stars from the 60s, 70s, and 80s who are reduced to having to do infomercials. You know,
Judge Judy makes $45 million a year. Poor Regis Philbin, you know, he can't even retire. He makes $27 million a year now. He can't believe the kind of money he makes, and he won't get off the air.
Things have changed. No, it's really about the tax structure, Ken. It's a combination of the change in the tax laws, so that if you pay somebody that kind of money, they actually get to keep it. So then they have an incentive to push for it.
But then when the company fails, people like Rush Limbaugh, you know, basically we're going to end up paying his salary because his company's going to come with their tin cup to us, or the Fed's going to inflate the money, and basically senior citizens are going to...
Well, there's a flip side of that, Ken. If he's being, you know, he was claiming that he got a $400 million compensation package, but
and he's worth it,
when it happened, my guess...
Arrogant.
Yeah, and when it happened, my guess was that that was $400 million, that a good chunk of that was a percentage of advertising revenue, and that was based on the most rosy possible advertising revenue scenarios. Advertising revenue in this business, in the radio industry, right across the board from one of the industry publications that I subscribe to, said that it's down, the last quarter down about 20%. I mean, it's taking a
big hit.
Yeah,
but his salary isn't down. And
it will. If he's paid a percentage of revenue, his salary will be down. And I always thought that $400 million number was wild, just like Sean Hannity's $200 million were both wildly inflated just for PR purposes. But, you know, who knows? But the point is, I mean, you know, I don't think Limbaugh is the point. I think the point is that we changed our tax laws so that the rich can get richer, but the poor can't. And that's what's really going on. And, of course, Rush Limbaugh, one of the most articulate spokespeople for the very rich in America. AC, also known as Armin, right, in Bradenton?
Yeah. Hey, I want to wish you a happy new year. And
thank
there's
you,
another
same
issue.
To you and your family.
You too, Tom, really. There's another issue. The reason a lot of these sports stars are just ripping us off, well, I say ripping us off because I don't want to pay for their crappy stadiums. And they're screwing the taxpayers, a lot of these ignorant, uneducated, working poor, into paying for their stadiums. And it's so bizarre, they'll even fight and shove and push to get in there and pay an exorbitant ticket price to see these prima donnas play in the stadiums.
But Armin, it's not the sports stars who are building the stadiums. It's the George W. Bush folks. It's the George Steinbrenners.
It's the
wealthy investors.
It's all, Tom.
Yeah.
Damn. No, you still there?
Yeah, I am.
I'm sorry.
And you are too.
Okay, listen, Tom. It's beyond this. It's a criminal racket. And Rush Limbaugh is part of the system. He is a Republican lobbyist, one of the highest paid Republican lobbyists on the media.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you at all, Armin. Absolutely. Joe in Orange County, California. Hey, Joe.
Morning, Tom. It's Jeff, actually, but no big deal.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I just wanted to comment, but you covered some more ground here. I just wanted to comment on what you were saying about George Bush's administration most likely giving the wink and nod to Israel here. I believe that to be completely true because these guys practice propaganda and projectionism like no one ever seen since Hitler, frankly.
Well, it's not just that. I didn't mean it in a totally Machiavellian sense. What I meant was Israel and the United States are very, very close allies, and we both recognize that if one or the other is messing militarily in the Middle East, it's going to have consequences for the other party. So I can't imagine that the U.S. would not check with Israel before invading a Muslim country, for example, or that Israel wouldn't check with the United States before commencing a bombing campaign in Gaza.
I'd like to kind of cue on that because I actually said this to my wife about 30 or 40 days ago, just as all of the stuff was starting to really catch fire with the economy and Bush was really looking bad. They needed a shiny object for somebody to look elsewhere, and the Russian issue wasn't going to be it any longer. I think that there's projectionism going on, and I've heard it all over the echo chamber this morning, Fox News, the White House and everybody talking, because what they keep saying is the projectionism of what you were kind of commenting on, and I understand you weren't trying to say it in a Machiavellian kind of a sense, but in fact, I think that they are saying, because what they're saying is this is exactly what Hezbollah wants. They want to have this happen before the new administration comes into power, so they have a upper hand in negotiation. Well,
yeah.
I think that's projectionism.
Well, this is also what Hamas wants, because this is, as the Financial Times pointed out today, this is going to cut the knees out from underneath Mahmoud Abbas. You know, with Fatah, he's going to be seen as the weak sister who's the friend of Israel, which is not going to earn him any points on the Arab street.
No, and obviously Israel's not gaining any favor with world opinion right now as we see riots everywhere going on.
Right.
Joe,
I think that there's a whole lot of losers in this. And if Israel thinks that they're going to bring Hamas to their knees and they're going to win this militarily and it's going to be some incredible, wonderful victory for them, I think, you know, maybe over the short term, but over the long term, it's going to help the right wing in Israel and it's going to help the Hamas, period.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Yee-haw is not a foreign policy. Tom Hartman, Nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
All right, let's get down to some direct talk from DirecTV. At a time when the cost of almost everything around you is spiraling out of control, DirecTV puts you back in control with this amazing offer that locks in your price until 2010. Right now, you can get over 150 digital channels of DirecTV for just $29.99 a month for a full year. For a limited time, ask how to get 3 free months of HBO, Stars, and Showtime. That's 28 of the best premium movie channels free for 3 whole months. Lock in your savings until 2010 by switching to DirecTV today. Don't miss out. Call today. 888-561-DIRECTV. 888-561-DIRECTV. Call right now to get over 150 digital channels of DirecTV for just $29.99 a month for 12 months. 888-561-DIRECTV. Offer ends 12/31/08 and subject to credit approval. $23 bill credit requires rebate and enrollment in auto bill pay program. New DirecTV customers only. Leasing credit card required. Other conditions apply. Call for details.
Ed Schultz.
Is this the man?
No, this is the man talking to the man. Ed Schultz, what's going on?
Noon to 3.
Barack Obama with us. I know you voted for the farm bill. Can you speak to the folks in the heartland on ag and energy?
I come from the heartland, and I come from an agricultural state. My record goes back 10 years.
The Ed Schultz Show.
What I'm most concerned about are family farmers and family ranchers.
Noon to 3.
We've got to make sure that they're getting help, not just big agribusiness.
AM 620 KPOJ. Online at 620KPOJ.com.
Imagine this. You walk into your apartment and, oh boy, you've been robbed. Yep, somebody definitely broke in here and made off with the goods, didn't they? Your flat-screen TV, your laptop, and even your race car-shaped bed's gone. Just a devastating loss. The good news is, if you call GEICO, you could be protected for as little as $12 a month. Yeah, seriously, just $12. So first, call GEICO, and second, maybe think about buying a grown-up bed, yeah?
For a fast, easy rate quote on renter's insurance, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Hi, I'm Tom Dwyer, 230-2300. Tom Dwyer Automotive Services provides the best vehicle care in Portland, and we're the first and only auto service anywhere to offer a carbon offset program. Our partnership with the Bonneville Environmental Foundation has offset over 1 million pounds of carbon, and now you can take positive action to offset your vehicle's contribution to climate change and save money doing it. Go to TomDwyer.com, click the link, use the promo code KPOJ, and sign up today. As part of your membership, we'll provide special offers and discounts that far exceed the cost to join, so you'll get the benefits and help sponsor a solution for the clean, renewable energy our future depends on. Helping your wallet, your vehicle, and our environment at the same time. Now that's a good feeling. Tom Dwyer Automotive Services is 100% carbon neutral, from heating and electricity to our free ethanol-powered shuttle service. Even the impact of us road testing your vehicles, we have it covered. And with our eco certification, you'll feel good knowing that the waste stream generated by your vehicles is being managed responsibly. Please go to TomDwyer.com and sign up today. Or just call us at 503-230-2300.
Your kids are going for a bike ride, you make sure they wear a helmet. They insist on skateboarding, add knee pads and elbow pads too. Swimming in the pool, water wings, goggles, earplugs. If we could pack our kids in bubble wrap, we'd do it. Because we love them and we want to protect them. This is Lisa Edelstein with some very important news. Now there's an easy way to protect your kids 3 times a day. Choose healthy foods. Research has shown that a vegetarian diet rich in fruits, vegetables, and whole grains can help protect our kids against obesity. It can even help keep them from developing heart disease or cancer when they grow up. My friends at the Cancer Project are just waiting to hear from you so they can send you important information on how to protect your children from the inside out. Just log on to cancerproject.org or call 866-906-WELL. That's 866-906-WELL. This message brought to you by the Cancer Project.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
And welcome back. Tom Harbin here with you. Speaking of Rush Limbaugh, our
condescending crime.
A rush alert for the day.
You might say, everybody hates my guts. I'm offensive, I'm a bigot, I'm a fraud, can you dig it? I'm a sexist, racist, homophobic, fat, pathetic cuss.
And now we find the liberals doing what they always do, and I've told you this, they always try to give me 50 milligrams of Vicodin instead of the 80s.
I'm a Nazi.
That's right.
I really
am, because I'm a Nazi. That's right.
You're being scammed.
I'm a Nazi.
I don't care about the middle class, because I'm a fat conservative butthead with the face of a horse's ass.
He's a fat conservative butthead.
Hey,
with the face of a horse's ass.
Yeah, there you go. And Limbaugh's outrageous. Here's, believe it or not, Rush Limbaugh speculating that the economic crash was caused by the Democrats who just did it to help Barack Obama.
I'm just wondering if a lot of this was by design. Who is benefiting, aside from the people being bailed out? The Democrat Party and Barack Obama are benefiting from. They got elected. They increased their numbers in the House. They increased their numbers in the Senate. They got the White House now. And they've got a crisis.
Yeah, it must just be a giant conspiracy. Every time the Republicans screw up the economy, as they've done over the last 28 years, it's all a conspiracy by the Democrats. No doubt about it, right?
In closing, let me say that each and every day, I'm an evil, rotten, egotistical snob. I'm the capo, Joe McCarthy-like Gestapo.
Yes.
Home at the mouth, Jack, who the
52 slob. Minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with the 866-303-2270, our telephone number. And Azriel in Pennsylvania? Am I pronouncing that right?
Yes, pretty close. I want to react about something that you said yesterday about a question that you asked how the whole thing started in the Middle East. The whole thing started when an Israeli got killed from one of those mortar attacks. Not because Israel started bombing in their tunnels. That's not where it started. Israel then started their assault. Now, another thing, even though there was a ceasefire...
You're talking about the end of the... You're talking about, when you say what got started, you're talking about the
conflict? The military campaign by Israel. That's what started. Now, although the ceasefire was for 6 months, and Israel didn't do nothing for 6 months, even though there were other mortar and some missile attacks, every day, between 15 and 20 attack were on Israel, every day. And it wasn't going, as you said, to an empty field. There were a lot of houses and businesses got hurt. Lucky, nobody got killed. There was Ashdod, Ashkelon, Netivot, even Kivatayim, that it's next to Tel Aviv. I mean...
No, Israel, you're absolutely right. But although there were a lot of them filling empty fields as well, my point was...
Everybody in the world now going crazy because Israel dared to do something about it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happened in 82 in Lebanon, even in Israel, when Israel was going to take out the Fatah. They were going to finish the Fatah, and then could talk with the moderate in Israel.
But see, that's the thing. You can't finish what is perceived to be a popular liberation group by its own people, whether it is or not. As long as it's perceived by its own people that way, you can't finish it. And Azriel, when I was in Africa, when I was in Uganda in 1980 during the war with Idi Amin, and we were dealing with hell on earth there. I mean, it was as bad as it gets. That situation was actually created in 1956 when Churchill decided to pull the United Kingdom out of Uganda and offered absolutely no aid, absolutely no assistance, left the infrastructure that was there without any, they couldn't fix the railroads, they didn't have spare parts, they couldn't fix the roads, he took all the trucks out of the country. I mean, basically, because he was forced to pull out of Uganda. And by world opinion. And so he said, okay, I'll show you. And the result of that was, and not just Uganda, by the way, many of the African countries and many of the European colonizers doing the same thing. And the consequence of that was that there was such a huge power vacuum and such a physical vacuum that those countries melted down. And I would submit to you that a large part of what is the genesis of this is in 2006 when, or in 2005 when Israel pulled out of the out of Gaza, they pulled out in a way that was not that different from the way that the British pulled out of Uganda in 1956. And had that pullout been done in a different way, had it been done collaboratively and cooperatively, and let's help build a state that works, let's nurture moderate, you know, Islam in this area, let's nurture the political moderates, the result might have been very, very different. But there was, there are...
Hold a second, Tom. Go. Hold a second. Okay, let me explain you something. The United States of America is a tremendous force of good in the world. For example, right now, I'm talking only on the area of the Gaza and the, what we call the occupied territories. I personally, as an Israeli and as an American even, I don't want to hold that area. Nobody in my family, most of my family live there. Nobody wants that. They want them to have their own place. But the problem is that they don't want only that place. They want to take over of Israel. But the tremendous power of the United States basically, he that supported those people now, in the Gaza Strip, they are the ones that provide the money for food, clothing, shoes, medicine, shelter. They provided most of the money. The other country gave them slish, nada almost, nothing almost. The United States is the tremendous force of good, and they doing it through the UN, through UNRWA. And
but see, the problem, no, Israel, the problem is that Hamas was providing much of that.
No, the Hamas take that and distribute that.
Well, okay, the point is they got the credit for it. And yes, they're getting money from Iran. We're not that far apart, Israel, but I got to tell you, if the United States and, you know, I was saying Israel pulled out of there, the U.S. was every bit a part of that. We should have been working to nurture a moderate Islamic republic, as it were, a moderate republic in Gaza, as has been slowly happening on the West Bank. And I think it's going to melt down on the West Bank now as well. And I think it's a tragedy. Israel, thanks for the call. I'm sorry, we're just out of time here at the top of the hour. We'll be back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Okay, the house price index has dropped 18% in the last year, the biggest drop ever. This ain't good. And consumer confidence at an all-time low. Seems like a good time to get on Alan Jablonski, our old friend and regular visitor to this show, consumer rights attorney, licensed mortgage broker, author of Successfully Navigating the Mortgage Maze, his website, mortgage-maze.net. Do you have another one, Alan? Didn't you have another website you were working on?
Good morning, Tom. AJConsumerWatch.com. We've kind of gotten rid of the dash there with the mortgage maze because people were having trouble finding it.
Okay, we've got to update our records here. AJConsumerWatch.com. Thank you, Alan. And mm-hmm. And let me say, we're gonna run this out for a while here on the show. If you have questions about mortgage, personal finance, things like that, Alan's the guy who can answer them. Particularly if these legal issues, you're a consumer rights attorney. Our phone number 866-303-2270. Also, I just want to throw in here, over the last 30 some odd years, 30 plus years, I have started six businesses. One, the very first one I started when I was a teenager, croaked. We reached the point where we had four employees, and I made a really bad business decision and killed that company. And I learned a lot from that. The other businesses have all done very well. The travel agency that we started in 1983 in Atlanta, International Wholesale Travel, and Sprayberry Travel, a retail arm, have done over a quarter of $1 billion in business since then. We sold that in 86. The Community for Abused Kids we started in 1978. That's a nonprofit. It's still running in New Hampshire. SalemChildrensVillage.org has served thousands of kids over the years, and average employs around 50 people. And I ran that program for 5 years. The ad agency in Atlanta that we started, Chandler McDonald, Stout Schneiderman, Poe Inc., and DBA, the Newsletter Factory, still operating in Atlanta, has done very well over the years. We sold our share in that in 1996, the last time I retired. Louise and I have retired 5 times and gone to live in Europe for a year, or just goofed off for a year or two, or written books. If you have questions about, and by the way, virtually every one of these businesses that we sold or when we started businesses were during economic bad times in the 70s, in the 80s, and in the 90s. What I found is that recessions were the very best time. That's when there's enormous amounts of entrepreneurial opportunities out there. So if you have questions for me about how to start a business or how to run a small business or any dimension of that, I think between the two of us, between Alan and I, there's a fair knowledge database here. So feel free to give us a shout at 866-303-2270. Alan, my first question for you, as a consumer rights attorney and licensed mortgage broker, I understand that because the Fed has dropped the interbank lending rate down to 0 to 0.5%, that mortgage rates, as a consequence of that, to a large extent, are at the lowest that they've been literally in a generation.
Tom, I'd like to point out that that's kind of a misnomer that people are using in the industry, where they put out internet advertisements saying the Fed has cut the rate, interest rates at an all-time low. Mortgage rates are tied to mortgage bonds, and that's a long-term loan. That isn't a short-term loan, which isn't directly tied to the Fed rate.
Right.
They may or may not have an effect on long-term rates. But people have to know that it's in the bond market that mortgage rates, 30-year mortgages, are tied.
But hasn't the bond market been – this is an area I don't know a whole lot about. I mean, I bought a couple of houses and sold a couple of houses, but that's it. I've never played in real estate. I've never invested in real estate. Isn't the bond market, though, one of the relatively – and I realize relatively is a huge qualification – one of the relatively healthy areas left, because so many people, as equities have tanked, as stocks have tanked, and as debt has – well, bonds are debt, actually, aren't they? Maybe I should – instead of making a statement, I should ask the question, what's the status of the bond market nationally and internationally?
Well, beyond just whether or not China or Saudi Arabia is buying our mortgage bonds – beyond that, there's other things that play into what causes interest rates to move up and down. There's what the T-bill is going at. That's no risk. It's backed by the government. So mortgages are going to have to pay a little bit more. Up until 3 weeks ago, a lot of risk was being put into the interest rates, because the lenders weren't sure Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were going to get bailed out. And as soon as Fannie and Freddie stepped up, the interest rates dropped to all-time lows. They hit 4.5% at one point about a week ago for a 30-year fixed. So there's, basically what you can look at is inflation is the enemy of the mortgage bonds. And if inflation is on the rise, interest rates are going to go up.
But the flip side of that, we're experiencing deflation right now, are we not?
Absolutely, and that's why rates are at near all-time lows right now. We actually expect them. I mean, today they're at about 5.25% for a 30-year fixed, and we expect them to go down unless some really great news comes out, like inflation is on the rise. We with all the money that's being printed in Washington. We may head for stagflation
right,
coming up in the next year or two.
Let me just tell our callers, our call screener is having a long conversation with one of our callers right now. So if you're calling and it just keeps ringing, just hang on. He'll get to you. 866-303-2270, your telephone number, because I've noticed a couple of people call in and then drop out over the last few minutes. We're talking with Alan Jablonski, consumer rights attorney and licensed mortgage broker, successfully navigating the mortgage maze. His book, AJConsumerWatch.com? No.
Correct.
Yeah, okay, ConsumerWatch.com. Alan, what's the trend right now? It just seems to me as more and more people are laid off, as more and more people don't have money, as home values continue to fall, and I saw Nouri El-Roubini on Bloomberg a couple days ago saying he expects that home values are going to drop another 20 to 30%. Common sense would indicate that they're probably going to drop about 20% because they're still 20% above historic norms when you just graph the thing over the last 100 years and adjust it for inflation. And then there's probably going to be an overshoot in that drop because typically there is, you know, with that kind of thing. Where are home prices going to go? I mean, how does that influence the availability of mortgages right now? If mortgage rates are low, and you said this is a bit of a misnomer, but you know, there's a bunch of mortgage companies advertising on radio and television, mortgage rates are at historic lows. If they are at lows, is it possible for people to get mortgages? Is it a good idea?
Absolutely.
I mean, if you've got an ARM or an interest only loan or something, should you rush right out and convert it into a 20 or 30 year fixed?
Well, the problem is that most people by now are upside down in their homes. The vast majority of people that need to refinance that were in the subprime loans or in the option ARM loans, they need to refinance, and they're finding that they're upside down. Their only avenue is to try to get a modification.
Because they're upside down because they owe more on their home than it's worth, therefore the
Correct.
Bank says, sorry, we won't loan you that amount of money.
The banks are not going to exceed 80% loan to value if you're looking at a conventional loan. They will not allow what you owe on your house to exceed 80% of that value of your house. And in addition, most lenders in areas that are seeing large drops, such as California or Florida, Nevada, Arizona, they're building in a 5% deduction in the appraisal value because they know that that home prices are going to continue to slide. People are afraid to go out and buy homes right now.
Well, you know, I've heard two different pieces of advice. One is that this is the best time to buy a home. Because home rates are low. The other being, you know, they're still going to drop 20%. You put 20% down on a house, and a year from now your house is worth 20% less. You just wiped out all your equity, and it's a bad time to buy a house. And then there's a third, which is just kind of a common sense thing, which is that if you are selling a house and then buying a house with that revenue, even though you're selling in a crummy market and you're buying in a great buyer's market, basically it's a wash. You're moving from one house to another.
It is a wash. Anybody who's deciding to either move up or down, depending on their financial situation, whatever they lose on one, they'll gain on the other.
Yes.
I think that first-time home buyers that have scraped together their pennies to buy a home, now is not the time to do it.
Wait another year?
I would say keep watching the market. Right now is a great time to interview real estate agents and mortgage brokers.
Now's the time to get ready for it.
Who's going to be honest with you?
Great. We're talking with Alan Jablonski. We'll be right back after the break. 16 minutes past the hour.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
What would Hartman do? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
All right, let's get down to some direct talk from DirecTV. At a time when the cost of almost everything around you is spiraling out of control, DirecTV puts you back in control with this amazing offer that locks in your price until 2010. Right now, you can get over 150 digital channels of DirecTV for just $29.99 a month for a full year. For a limited time, ask how to get 3 free months of HBO, Stars, and Showtime. That's 28 of the best premium movie channels free for 3 whole months. Lock in your savings until 2010 by switching to DirecTV today. Don't miss out. Call today. 888-561-DIRECTV. 888-561-DIRECTV. Call right now to get over 150 digital channels of DirecTV for just $29.99 a month for 12 months. 888-561-DIRECTV.
Offer ends 12/31/08 and subject to credit approval. $23 bill credit requires rebate and enrollment in auto bill pay program. New DirecTV customers only. Leasing credit card required. Other conditions apply. Call for details.
Taking the complicated and making it sound simple.
Didn't he look like he's used to having shoes thrown at him? I mean, seriously, didn't the president look completely comfortable with that shoe coming at his head?
Randy Rhodes.
He uses, like, his best cheerleader skills, and he's bobbing and weaving. And he stood there, just like on 9/11, and stared into the crowd.
The Randy Rhodes Show.
You're at a podium, you dimwit. Get down.
3 to 6.
And in between shoes, he had that same dimwitted look on his face that he had on 9/11 when he was sitting there reading my Petco.
On AM 620. KPOJ.
Hi, this is Coach Bobby Ross.
And I'm Coach Gene Solings, and we'd like to tell you why we're honored to be part of the East-West Shrine Game, football's finest hour.
This is America's premier college all-star game, but the Shrine Game is more than just a showcase for America's top college players. What makes it football's finest hour is the support it provides for Shriners Hospitals for Children.
Since 1925, the Shrine Game has raised millions of dollars and created awareness of the pediatric specialty care available at 22 Shriners Hospitals at no charge.
Being selected to play in the Shrine Game is a unique experience for players to showcase their talents while supporting an amazing mission of helping children with burns, orthopedic problems, spinal cord injuries, and more.
So please join Coach Ross and me in helping kids defy the odds. To learn more, visit ShrineGame.com or ShrinersHospitals.org.
A public service from Shriners Hospitals for Children.
You know, I always appreciate it when someone goes the extra mile. And that's why I love those folks who make Clear Eyes eye drops. They put an extra moisturizing ingredient in every Clear Eyes product in the entire line, even their redness formula. An extra moisturizer they never even told us about. See, they're humble, too. So if you want eye drops that do the job, and then some, get Clear Eyes. Use as directed.
How to prevent a sweater avalanche. Step 1. Barricade your closet door and head directly to the Home Depot. Step 2. Stock up on storage totes, shelving, and more. Step 3. Show your closet and your wallet who's boss.
The Home Depot has the lowest prices on hundreds of storage solutions. Get 2 18-gallon bins for $6.88 and clear shoebox totes for only 99 cents each. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. U.S. only while supplies last.
I knew I had a problem.
Eating and eating.
I felt so alone.
We understand. We're Overeaters Anonymous, and we have helped thousands of people just like you. Start living the life you deserve. Find us on the web at OA.org.
So you love listening to the radio. At work. At the park. At the gym. At your kids' play. Well, all thanks to the iHeartRadio app on your iPhone. Download it for free at iHeartRadio.com. We think you'll heart it. A lot.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Tom Hartman radio program, the place where smart people get their news. 866-303-2270, our phone number, and Tom in San Francisco. Hey, Tom, you're on with Alan Jablonski, our consumer rights attorney and licensed mortgage broker, and AJConsumerWatch.com, and me. What's up?
I'm wondering about the enabling factor on the incoming administration, their interest in helping people who would otherwise have bought into the real estate market a few years ago when it was really hot but missed the boat. We're sort of in a marginal situation. I was wondering if the incoming government might be putting us in a situation where more people would be enabled to be first-time buyers.
Well, one of the things that is currently still going on is that the FHA is still making loans up to 97% of a home's value. And you can have a credit score down to a 580. But the question is if you've got a credit issues, financial issues, is now the time to buy? I think that people have to rethink that right now.
is, yeah, okay. Richard in Miramar, Florida. Richard, you're on the air with Alan and me. What's up? Richard? No Richard. Okay. Yeah, let's go to Dennis in Beaverton. Hey, Dennis.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good.
I had an interesting conversation with my loan servicer a few weeks back where basically my 6.625 first and my 8.25 second have been sold, eons ago. And whoever the holder of those notes are, it's like they're like bonds now to them at 6.625 and 8.25%. So there's really no incentive for my loan servicer to, again, because I'm upside down, to refinance me into a lower rate until I'm in trouble. It just seems like the system's kind of backwards there, and that unless I'm in trouble and, stop paying for 4 months, my first and second, then there's no program out there to lower my cost on my first and second.
It's almost, Dennis and Alan, it almost seems like this was, to go back to Limbaugh's conspiracy theory, that the economic collapse was done by the Democrats to help Obama. I think you could posit a flip side that this was, if there was a conspiracy here, and whether or not there is, but the effect of this has been to suck more and more money out of the middle class.
The politicians continue across the board, and some radio hosts continue to focus on nothing but the problems, and people need to start turning towards looking for a solution. A lot of the information that's being put out there, such as the Hope for Homeowners program, I called them 6 weeks ago.
Thanks, Dennis.
They put me on a hold for an hour and a half and then told me that I would get a call back and get some help within 24 to 48 hours. I'm still hoping that they're going to call me.
Wow.
I haven't heard a thing.
Yeah, you told that story the last time you were on the air.
It's still, I hold out hope that I'm going to hear from somebody, but the reality of it is that those programs, Hope for Homeowners and Hope Now, the lenders are behind those programs. You're going to have to speak with your loan servicer again and ask for the loss mitigation department. Now, if you don't get anywhere speaking directly, you need to go, and it depends on what state you're in also, you need to go and talk to either a real estate attorney or a consumer rights attorney in your state and get some representation, because most of these brokers, and you probably did your loan through a broker, I assume.
He's
what will end up happening is that you will have an attorney look through your documents, find out whether or not there were omissions, errors, and that will give them the opportunity to challenge your loan and maybe put the not only the loan servicer but those that hold the paper in a position to negotiate with you.
Okay. Roger in Florida. Hey, Roger.
Hi, is this Tom and AJ, is it?
There it is, yeah, AJConsumerWatch.com, Alan Jablonski.
I'll visit the site tonight when I get back to the house.
Yeah, and we've got a minute to the break here, Roger.
Say it again?
We have a minute to the break, if you could be succinct.
Real quick, I've had a mortgage. I had to get two mortgages because I had lost my job, and my credit rating at the time was real good, so I had to get two mortgages on a house about 6 years ago down here in Florida. I'm not upside down in it, but I'm paying 8% on one mortgage, and I had to get a little second mortgage, and don't laugh at me, at 12%, like for $14,000. So we owe about $60,000 on a house that at the peak of the bubble is worth $200,000. Maybe it's worth $100,000 now. So I owe $60,000 on a house that's worth $100,000. And I want to refinance, but my credit rating's kind of shot now.
So your question,
I haven't,
Roger,
missed any payments.
You have a question real quickly on that?
Say again?
What's your question?
I think he's looking for a way out. And,
yeah. Okay. Well, Alan,
can you
pick that up on the way back from the break? We'll be back in just a couple of minutes here. It's 27 minutes past the hour. The Tom Hartman radio program right here on Air America Radio. We're talking with Alan Jablonski, the consumer rights attorney and licensed mortgage broker.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman program. Call 866-303-2270.
Annoying Republicans by defending the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Sometimes you bend, sometimes you stand, sometimes you turn your back to the wind. There's a world outside every darkened door. The blues won't haunt you anymore. With a brave, all free, and lover soar, come ride with me to the distant shore. We won't hesitate to break down a garden gate. There's not much time left today.
34 minutes past the hour. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. Roger, you were the guy on the phone with us talking to Alan before the break?
That's correct. Sorry, okay. I lost my signal, but I'm sitting in a good spot now. I got a good signal.
Okay, so you were describing your situation, Alan. Your question for him was what?
I have an existing mortgage, never missed a payment on it or anything else. I have a couple of bad spots on my credit rating. It went from like 750 down to around 600. Great. And I want to refinance because the mortgage rates on both my mortgages for this single property total, right now we owe about $60,000 on it, and the house is probably worth $100,000, $100,000 and a quarter. But I'm afraid I won't be able to get approved for a new regular conventional 15-year mortgage because of my credit rating.
Well, Roger, the one thing that I mentioned earlier was that if your mid-FICO score is 580 or above, you may qualify for an FHA loan. With what you've told me, what you owe on the house, and if your numbers are correct to its value, you should contact a mortgage broker and talk to them about an FHA loan. You can visit my site and see if we have a mortgage broker down in Florida that can help you out, and if you're looking for an honest one, email me and I'll find one for you that will do a good job for you and not take you.
And this is not something you're making a commission on, Alan, I'm assuming?
No, it's not.
Yeah, okay, so this isn't a hustle. AJConsumerWatch.com, by the way, the website. Alan Jablonski with us, the attorney and licensed mortgage broker. Mark in San Francisco. Hey, Mark.
Hey, good morning, you guys. I am an excellent mortgage payer. My wife and I have been doing a good job, and we made the mistake of taking some of our equity in the form of a second loan. And, of course, now out in California, my basically $400,000 condo is only worth about $320,000. And I'd really like to be in a piece of property with some grass and some lawn and some, you know, actual house. Is there any way I can take my steady income, my job's pretty solid, and my good payment record and get into a house, even though my mortgage is underwater?
That would be very difficult because your income would have to support two properties. You would have to be able to purchase your new property, hold the old property, and then try to sell it off in a short sale or work something out with your current lender.
Now, what if I dissolved the business partnership of my marriage and made it into, like, a bankruptcy? Would I be able to then take that income, get out from under this property, and reassign that income to a new property?
Well, if you're talking about a bankruptcy, and although that's a little out of my area in law, if somehow a bankruptcy is connected to you, you know, you're going to have that black mark, and your credit score is going to go down to about 500.
Yeah.
So you're kind of in a catch-22 here. But if your income can support the two properties at the same time, then you can make the move.
Is that the same situation? Say I just decide to default because I don't like this situation. That's not a bankruptcy, but is that going to kill my credit too?
It will absolutely wreck your credit immediately.
Yeah.
So I'm a hard worker. I'm paying everything, and I've got a valuable money, but I can't reassign it to a better property. So I'm hosed until the market comes back.
part of the problem that we're facing is that in large part due to my appearances on Tom's show, is that I've been inundated with phone calls from across the country, people needing help with the modifications, and they're being misled by mortgage brokers that are getting into the modification business. I've been so buried with phone calls that I am now working with two attorneys here in California, Matt Garagos and Chris Campbell, and we've started working on helping people out, and our goal is to get a modification that actually reduces the principal load. These lenders are committing financial suicide in your particular case, a $320,000 home that you owe $400,000. It would make financial sense for them to modify your loan down to $320,000 balance, and then you can make a lower payment and keep your home. It would help stabilize the housing
market.
But
see, as long as he's making payments on it, from their point of view, why should they take a $60,000 write down or an $80,000 write down when they can force it on him?
Well, the difficulty is that with all, just like Hope for Homeowners, they say, be 60, 90 days late on in default on your mortgages. As I've mentioned, there's no help out there, and the modifications that the lenders are offering are short term. They usually last only 2 to 3 years. They lower your interest rate, and then they hit you with a large fee, and they tack on more principal owed on your mortgage
Jeez.
Balance. So they're really trying not – they're trying to help themselves and push off a problem and not help the homeowner.
Well, this is going
to
happen.
You're going to have a consumer rights attorney that actually knows the law. Here in California, we have some great laws that we're going to be testing. As a matter of fact, this afternoon, Chris Campbell, one of my partners, is going into court to stop a eviction, and we're going to see if we can't use some of the new laws here in our state to protect some homeowners.
Yeah, but this is just a classic example of what happens when the so-called free market is allowed to make all the rules. And the predators are running the market. I mean,
The financial, I'm all for free markets, but if a market demonstrates that it cannot regulate itself, then the government needs to step in and protect people. Just like they provide police, they need to change the disclosure laws so people know what they're getting. With all of the information coming out of Washington in the last year, they have done absolutely nothing. They have passed no law that is going to protect consumers so that then when they sit down to sign their loan documents, they understand exactly what kind of loan they're getting. The
right.
Truth in Lending Act and the RESPA are totally inadequate at this time.
Right. AJ, we got a bunch of callers. Let's try and get through them a little. Alan. We've got a bunch of callers here. Let's try to get through them a little more quickly. Dan in Seattle, you're on with Alan Jablonski.
Hi there, Alan. I'm a foreclosure specialist, and I do foreclosure rescue. I'm one of those evil investors. And I just would like a comment here. I'm kind of painted like some ghoulish character when truly I'm trying to find a situation where somebody can't keep their house. I want to find something that's going to work out, where it's going to limit their damage, and something where I can make some money, too, and come somewhere in the middle where both of us profit. Because we've only got three options. One, they go to the auction. Two, they work out something with the bank, which is tough to do. And three, they find a way to sell it to me where they lose, but not as much as they would lose at the foreclosure auction. And then we can help them restore their credit. I mean, I don't really have a question. I just like a response that people like myself are painted in such a bad light. We're not bad people. We're trying to find something that works for everybody. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Well, or you can stick around. Alan?
Well, I don't think there was really a question there. I don't think that in any industry that honest people that are trying to earn a living, I can't throw stones at them. The problem is that just like the mortgage industry, half of them are bad apples. And, making $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 while somebody else is losing money in their home when they walk away from it or sell it to someone, I think is egregious. It doesn't take that much paperwork to do a mortgage. When I got my license as a mortgage broker, most of the attorneys, when I sat back telling them how much mortgage brokers make, we all believed that we got into the wrong line of work.
Hmm. Interesting. Richard in Miramar, Florida. Hey, Richard, you're on with Alan Jablonski.
Yes, so very briefly, I think you guys may be talking to the most stupidest person in the world. I have a major issue. I had some friends that were about to lose their home, and they needed someone to buy their house, and they couldn't find anyone. And, of course, they found me, and they asked me to buy the house from them. And then after a year, they would buy the house back. They would make the mortgage payments, the taxes, and everything. And what they did was we got a loan for $180,000, and then the house was valued at like two-something. So the equity they put in a second note, and they had it between me and them for $40,000. Well, it's been 2 years. They stopped paying on the house about a year ago. We tried to evict them, took them to the eviction court, and they told us that because they had that second mortgage, we couldn't evict them. And now they've been in the house now. They haven't paid in 9 months. I'm about to lose not only that house but my house too. The judge, he transferred it to a circuit court and said that we just gonna have to work it out through that. But I spent all my money on paying the mortgage for them and my house. My mortgage just went up from $1,500 to $2,500. And so my question is, when he asked me to do this, he said he would make all the arrangements. So he lived in another town, and what he did was he made all arrangements. The only
Richard, we got to take a break. Richard, I'm going to ask you to hold here for just a second. I'm going to put you on hold, and because I want to get your question out. This is one of those really intriguing situations. We're talking with Alan Jablonski, ajconsumerwatch.com, the website, consumer rights attorney. Stick around.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Wasn't Jesus a community organizer? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KBOJ.
All right, let's get down to some direct talk from DirecTV. At a time when the cost of almost everything around you is spiraling out of control, DirecTV puts you back in control with this amazing offer that locks in your price until 2010. Right now, you can get over 150 digital channels of DirecTV for just $29.99 a month for a full year. For a limited time, ask how to get 3 free months of HBO, Stars, and Showtime. That's 28 of the best premium movie channels free for 3 whole months. Lock in your savings until 2010 by switching to DirecTV today. Don't miss out. Call today. 888-561-DIRECTV. 888-561-DIRECTV. Call right now to get over 150 digital channels of DirecTV for just $29.99 a month for 12 months. 888-561-DIRECTV. Offer ends 12/31/08 and subject to credit approval. $23 bill credit requires rebate and enrollment in auto bill pay program. New DirecTV customers only. Leasing credit card required. Other conditions apply. Call for details.
Taking the complicated and making it sound simple.
This is a change in the definition of what America is.
Rachel Maddow.
We've long had a very, 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 very diverse country. We just have been very resistant to the idea that our government ought to look as diverse as our country. That has now changed. But it is also a big day for the Democratic Party. And it is a very big day for the Republican Party.
Rachel Maddow.
Which now has no obvious leader, no clear direction.
Evening, 6 to 8.
No clear guiding ideology, either economically or in terms of foreign policy.
On AM 620 KBOJ.
Hi, this is Tom Dwyer, 230-2300. Hey, don't be lulled by these short-term gas prices. While we experience this temporary period of cheaper gas, remember what $4 and $5 gas feels like. Dwindling oil resources and corporate greed, the causes of high fuel prices, have not changed. You can trust the oil companies to do one thing, make profit. The oil industry spends more money advertising they're green than actually being green. Executive compensation and advertising spending far exceeds their actual budget for alternatives. Oil is a finite resource, and we're sucking off the bottom of the tank. Not familiar with the term peak oil? Then it's time to learn. What are we willing and able to do for transportation in the future? Tom Dwyer Automotive Services is committed to helping you make your transportation as sustainable as possible, whether it's keeping your vehicle running at its best, converting it to ethanol or biodiesel, or helping you with a decision about moving to hybrids or full electrics, we can help. We'd like to earn your trust and welcome you as a valued client. Please check the detailed video testimonials on our website at tomdwyer.com or just call us at 503-230-2300.
Have you ever lost a cat? And ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it?
Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and lost cat stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See? That's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Are you an embarrassment on the dance floor? Do you confuse state capitals and read too many celebrity gossip magazines? Well, if you answered yes, you may have what it takes to adopt a teen from foster care, because teens don't need perfection, they need you. So if you think an MP3 is a computer virus, it's okay. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. For more information, call 1-888-200-4005 or go to AdoptUsKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Now back to Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Yeah, maybe. I think it is. Richard in Miramar, Florida, you were talking with Alan Jablonski, AJConsumerWatch.com, consumer rights attorney and licensed mortgage broker, about your problem. You had helped a friend buy a house. You and your friend had collaboratively gotten a second mortgage to pull the equity out. Therefore, you couldn't evict him because, in essence, half of that house is his, or part of that is, and he'd be evicted himself. The court wasn't any help. And your question was?
We didn't get equity out of the house. He just basically wrote a note. We didn't exchange money or anything. Mm-hmm. He said that he had to do that in order to for the loan to be approved. So no money was switched or anything.
Yeah. Richard, have you been making the mortgage payment on this house?
Yes, I have. But that, you know, because
that's why you can't evict him, and why it hasn't been foreclosed on, because you've been doing the right thing while the person, your friend here, has basically abandoned you. As you continue to make that payment, you're definitely going to have to talk to an attorney down in Florida. We're trying to put together a network of consumer attorneys and real estate attorneys throughout the country. We don't have one yet down in Florida. I've gotten a lot of phone calls from different states, but you definitely need to go to your state bar, find an attorney in your area, and sit down. They ought to give you a free consultation to sit down and talk about it.
Does that help,
okay,
Richard?
Okay, then. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for the call, Richard. Thanks for listening.
Richard is trapped by trying to do something that went way out of his way to help somebody out.
Yeah.
And as long as he continues making that mortgage payment, he's going to have a difficult time. But, you know, he can sue and get some recovery from that person.
Yeah, so, assuming that they have any assets. Yeah. I mean, they may not have assets at this point, but that which is an increasing portion of America. Steve in Albany, New York, you're on with Alan Jablonski.
Actually, it's Albany, Oregon.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. Hey, my question's a little different, like most people's. I hope you can help me with it. I own a house free and clear, no mortgage. But houses in my neighborhood aren't selling. You know, the for sale signs are sitting out there for a year or two. And it looks like I'm going to be losing my job. And I may have to get rid of my house. And, of course, I want the most money for it. Values have come down. They're not selling. You know, if I just put a for sale sign in front of it, it may sit there for 2 years. What's the best way for me to – do I have an auction with it? Do I go to a realtor? What do I do to get the most money the quickest if I'm in a real tough place?
Well, the one thing that I would do, and I counsel people right now who are thinking about buying or selling a house, is you're going to have to get a real estate agent in your area if you're going to have to sell your home. Now, if you don't have a mortgage on it, and all you've got is your property taxes, I would keep the home and do everything I can to keep the home. But if there's some disability involved, et cetera, and you really do need to sell your home, call real estate agents in your area. Pose yourself as a buyer of a home. Ask, is now a good time to buy? If they say, yes, now's a great time to buy, cross them off your list. You're dealing with somebody who's not being straight with you. Keep calling real estate agents until they qualify their answer that home prices may continue to go down. You've got a winner. Stick with that person to list your house.
That's a good advice. Just one comment. When you say I might only have property taxes, well, there's insurance, there's utilities, there's maintenance and upkeep, and that all adds up. You know, without a mortgage, I'm still looking at over $1,000 a month. And I'm a little concerned that, you know, how long will I be able to get another job, a decent paying job, and the way the economy is. So I'm just kind of doing some disaster planning here.
And without a job, Alan, Steve can't borrow against the equity in the house right now to give himself a cushion. Or would it be a good idea before he loses his job to go out and borrow as much as he can against the house?
Only if he's in love with his property. Because you'd just be throwing away money right now, because home prices are going to continue to drop. There is going to be an overcorrection in the prices. But I would basically check with your state's government website, see if there are any programs for assistance with your electric bill, with different things that you have to pay for. But you don't want to wait to the last minute if you are going to have to sell your house, because you also want to have a realtor that is going to price your home to sell and get ahead of the down curve in the home prices. Right. You don't want to be sitting out there for 6 months to a year and then going to default on your taxes.
Right. Steve, thank you very much for calling. And good luck. Good luck. That's a tough one. Craig in Vancouver, Washington. Hey, Craig, what's up?
Hey, I just want to say I really appreciate you and Alan being on and sharing your time with us. It's very relative and informative. So the main question I had is about 6 months ago, we got an FHA loan and had it locked in at 5.875%. And now that the rates are dropping, I've been getting stuff in the mail about you can streamline with FHA-insured loans and all that other stuff. And I was just kind of curious about what the catch would be with that and what are the disadvantages or advantages other than like
and let me add, we've got 30 seconds until the end of the hour here.
Well, FHA loans are the interest rates are jumping between 5 and 5.5% right now. If you're at 5.875, it doesn't make economic financial sense to refinance your house right now. That 0.5% that you're going to save on the interest rate will take years to pay the cost of that mortgage.
So this isn't the time to refinance unless you've just got something absolutely outrageous. You know,
the,
you're sitting on a 10% mortgage, 12%
mortgage. 5.875 rate is a pretty good rate.
Yeah, okay. Alan Jablonski, his website, ajconsumerwatch.com. He's the author of Navigating the Mortgage Maze. Alan, thanks so much for being with us today.
Tom, my pleasure. Happy New Year to you and your listeners.
Thank you. Great talking with you. And coming up next, Ronnie Deutsch, the attorney tax expert, regular guest on this program. We used to debate politics a lot, but she knows a lot about taxes. Year-end tax tips coming up next. Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club. Providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back as we head in this final week up until New Year's Day, 2 days hence. It's, I think, useful to revisit what should we be doing at the end of the year, whether we be individuals, whether we be small businesses, sub S, C Corp, whatever it may be. What should we be doing to minimize the chunk of taxes that Uncle Sam is going to take out of our pocket or our wallet or our leg or however you want to characterize it? Ronnie Deutsch is with us, the tax expert, attorney, and president of the Ronnie Deutsch Tax Center. RONIDEUTCH.com is the website. Ronnie Deutsch. Hey, Ronnie, welcome back.
Tom, it is so great to hear you say what you just said, and that is, how do we save people money on their taxes? I just love it. Absolutely, that is what we got to discuss today.
Okay, so what do we do, Ronnie? What are the? I see you've got 10 tips here, on, I believe, on your website, and your top 10 year-end tax tips. And also, let me toss it out. If people have questions about their taxes, feel free to give us a call, 866-303-2270, and Ronnie can take your questions as well. Ronnie, what's the low-hanging fruit here for most people?
Yeah, I'm so grateful. Let's get right to the major issue. We have a refund check addiction in America. 70 to 80% of all people out there will get a refund check in April. And why do I think something is bad and wrong with it? I know many people think, Ronnie, but I get a refund check. Isn't that fantastic? And I come back and say to you, if you adjust your W-4 statement with your employer, you could get your money each and every paycheck rather than wait until the following April to get $2,400. That's the average refund. $2,400 is paid out in April, and I come back and say to everyone out there, I would rather get $200 more a month so that I could take that $200, A, invest it, or B, spend it on necessary items. C, how about saving? We have a negative savings rate. So I come back and say, we've got this refund check addiction. I understand it, Tom. I understand that people like to get that fact check, but it's an interest-free loan to Uncle Sam. That doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah.
I don't like giving
Ronnie,
the IRS money.
Ronnie, I agree with you, and in principle. And in fact, if you got this money every month, if you weren't paying it to Uncle Sam and giving an interest-free loan to Uncle Sam, at the very worst, you could be putting it in a bank savings account and drawing 2 or 3% on it, or put it in a money market fund or something like that. But here's the rub on this, and I think this is one of the reasons why so many Americans like that $2,400 refund, as it were. It's probably a misnomer, but it's, in any case, is because most people don't have any kind of systematic way of saving. In Japan, for example, you can ask your employer to divert a certain amount of your money into literally a savings account. The employer doesn't run it. It's not like a SEP or an IRA or a 401k or anything like that. They will simply pull it with most of the larger employers in Japan. They'll simply pull the money out and put it into your savings account. You know, if they're doing direct deposit, some of it goes into your checking account, some of it goes into your savings account. And so when it comes in, it's just an automatic process. There's nothing like that in the United States. And so people get the money, they spend the money, and then at the end of the year, they're going, hey, you know, I wish I'd saved 10%. But the fact of the matter is that there's no easy employer-based system so that you never see the money. And the IRS hanging on to your money is a way where you never see the money. And then at the end of the year, you get that $2,400. You say, oh, cool, now I've got $2,400. I think I'll put that into my savings or something like that. I'll tell you, I have done this, you know, back when I was in my 20s and 30s. I would do that with the refund check because it was a quick and dirty and brain dead way for me to save money because I pay so little attention to my normal finances. I'm not into it.
And I'm so grateful that you I'm so grateful that you are also recognizing when we're younger, we do different things, right? 20s, 30s versus 40s and 50s. And I so respect what Japan is doing, and I would feel, you know, great if we had a better system. But there is technology. Employers could take that extra $200 a month. Every month, everyone listening on this phone, everyone listening right now could get $200 more a month, right? The employer could zap it into a deposit account. Here's what else bothers me about it. We got to address the gorilla. We got to address this last issue on this one point. People also in April get what's called a refund anticipation loan. So instead of actually getting the $2,400 and blowing it on the big screen, on the big ticket item, and feeling good in that moment, remember, people are desperate for their money, so they pay to get their refund check.
Now that's really stupid. That's really dumb. That's
hey,
you know, and you know, here's the problem, Ronnie, is there are tax preparation companies that you go to, they do your taxes, and they say, we'll give you the money right now. By the way, we're going to loan it to you. And you know, now they've got some skin in the game. They're taking a piece off the top. I mean, that is genuinely crazy. That's far worse, in my opinion, than even giving a no-interest loan to the government for 6 months.
Yeah, but you got to remember how we think, right? We think we need our money right now. We're willing to pay the extra $300 to get it. And I just want to come back and explain to everyone that if you stop the nonsense right now, meet with your employer, instead of claiming zero, claim two. Get more money today. Then you're not caught in the trap of buying the big ticket item or getting a bank product that is purely...
Well, the other thing, though, is people are afraid that they're going to end up owing at the end of the year, and they know that they won't have the resources to pay it. That's a scary thing for a lot of people, so they overpay.
Yeah, so I understand the balancing act, right? We talk about that low-hanging fruit. This is the biggest piece of fruit.
Okay, so that's number one. What's number two?
Everyone. Number two, you know, I hate to belabor the point, but I want to talk about the $15,500 that everyone could be investing in their 401k plan, or the $5,000 they could be putting into their IRA tax free. Let's do the math. Depending on what bracket you are in, if you do not put that $15,500 in some sort of investment vehicle, you're going to end up paying Uncle Sam $7,000 of it. And I know, again, there's that balancing act, Tom, of what? How many years left do I have to retire? How scared am I of the stock market? But again, I come back on this important interview. We've got to get people to save for their future and take advantage of the tax issues.
Right, and you don't have to put it in the stock market. You know, you could put it into a savings account right now while things are turbulent.
Yes, of course, we have alternative means of getting that money tax-free somewhere else so the IRS doesn't get it. That's all I'm saying, guys. And I know they're afraid of the stock market. I'm completely understanding of that fact, but I'm trying to find ways to pay less in taxes.
Okay,
Number three, let's talk about organization. This message is for everybody out there that owns a business. Did you know that the average business owner is missing thousands of dollars in legitimate deductions? This is simple math, guys. You make $100,000, you have $50,000 in deductions. Guess what? You only pay tax on the $50,000. But what concerns me, we as Americans are more organized in our shoe closet than we are with our bank statements or how much money we're bringing in or what our bank statements say. Again, Tom, it's educating ourselves right now. Stop the nonsense. Have an idea what you make, what you spend, what you pay the IRS. What are your deductions? Do you save your bridge tolls, your car miles log? Does anybody have that stuff out there? Generally, no. And so they're overpaying in their taxes, and that bothers me.
I have a friend in New York who has a business with his wife. And, I mean, they own it together, a small business, a sub-S corp. And they go out virtually every day to eat, and they reserve their lunchtime or their dinner time for their business conversations. They write down what they talked about and keep the receipts, and they deduct that from their taxes, and they have the corporation pay for it. Is that legal?
Isn't that the greatest type of date imaginable? Yes, it is legal. They go to dinner with each other, discuss business issues, log exactly, in a general term, what the discussion topic items are, and now when that $250 bill comes, they're going to deduct 50% of that on their return. The IRS is not willing to pay the entire $250, but in that scenario, Tom, they got to write off one half of that dinner.
So you're saying if they go to Spago's and they get a $250 dinner, they can deduct 125 of it from their taxes if they simply have a sub S corp?
Entertainment expenses, including meals, are 50% deductible, regardless of if you're a sole proprietor, C corporation, S corporation, etc.
Amazing. That's great. Ronnie Deutsch is with us, the tax expert, and also an attorney and the president of the Ronnie Deutsch Tax Center, RONIDEUTCH.com. Should be taking your calls, 866-303-2270, right after this. Stick around. We'll be right back. 16 minutes past the hour.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Fighting mind-numbing incompetence. Tom Hartman, Nationwide. Weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
All right, let's get down to some direct talk from DirecTV. At a time when the cost of almost everything around you is spiraling out of control, DirecTV puts you back in control with this amazing offer that locks in your price until 2010. Right now, you can get over 150 digital channels of DirecTV for just $29.99 a month for a full year. For a limited time, ask how to get 3 free months of HBO, Stars, and Showtime. That's 28 of the best premium movie channels free for 3 whole months. Lock in your savings until 2010 by switching to DirecTV today. Don't miss out. Call today. 888-561-DIRECTV. 888-561-DIRECTV. Call right now to get over 150 digital channels of DirecTV for just $29.99 a month for 12 months. 888-561-DIRECTV. Offer ends 12/31/08 and subject to credit approval. $23 bill credit requires rebate and enrollment in auto bill pay program. New DirecTV customers only. Leasing credit card required. Other conditions apply. Call for details.
You know, the ones, fives, tens, twenties, fifties, and hundreds, that money is backed by what is called the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, the Federal Reserve.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I don't know about you, but I have no faith in this government. And as far as its credit rating, if the U.S. government were rated by one of these rating companies,
what would it be? Zero worth?
It's Mike Malloy.
I mean, how do you rate a nation that's $12 trillion in debt?
Evenings 8 to 11. AM 620 KPOJ. 620KPOJ.com.
Rates, policy forms, and availability vary by state.
Most of us don't like medical exams. So if you're a healthy person who's put off getting term life insurance, now hear this. Because you can get up to $500,000 in term life insurance with no doctor visit and no medical exam within minutes just by answering a few health questions over the phone. For a free quote, call eFinancial at 1-800-619-9011. Many people put off getting life insurance because they don't like medical exams. But it's possible to answer a few simple health questions and receive term life from top-rated carriers in minutes and for less than you'd imagine. Everyone's situation is different, but you could qualify for $500,000 of term life with no medical exam, and it's affordable. You could even be covered today. If you're living without term life, do what's right for your family in minutes, right over the phone. Call now for your free quote. Call 1-800-619-9011. 1-800-619-9011.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services Term Life agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. Now, we'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a 40-year-old man on blood pressure medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price? $20 a month.
Thanks, Joel. See how affordable term life insurance can be for you. Call 1-800-300-6619. That's 1-800-300-6619. Or go to SelectQuote.com. SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health and other factors. Not available in all states.
I knew I had a problem.
Eating and eating.
I felt so alone.
We understand. We're Overeaters Anonymous, and we have helped thousands of people just like you. Start living the life you deserve. Find us on the web at OA.org.
Now's the best time to shop online for great half-price deals. All week long, go to HalfPriceThursday.com and find bargains on tanning, dining, family fun, and much, much more. Visit HalfPriceThursday.com to find the best deals in Portland.
Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Talk radio for the sane among us. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you, 21 minutes past the hour. 866-303-2270 if you have questions for Ronnie Deutsch or for me. And Marianne in Seattle, apparently you have a question for me. And then we've got a whole bunch of folks with questions for Ronnie. What's up, Marianne?
Hi. Thanks for your great guests and discussion. I agree. We all need more financial education and restraint to try to save. I'm calling about a business venture. You invited people to call about it. And since I'm concerned that our savings are going to be worth so far less, I'm thinking about investing in a real estate group home. A friend is a nurse, and she approached us about starting a group home since there's such demand for it. And then the state even subsidizes some of the things. I don't know that the state can continue to do that when so many states are, you know, cutting back. But I'm wondering how I should start with this. I'm a realtor myself, so I know about buying houses, and I know that prices are going to go down further, but right. I don't know much about the health care part or the tax thing. You know.
Well, in all probability, you'd be talking about starting a nonprofit corporation, so I wouldn't think
like
of
to
it.
Do that.
Yeah, I would not think of it in terms of an investment. You're not going to get a return on that. When Louise and I started the New England Salem Children's Village in 1978 in New Hampshire, we put, at least 20, maybe as much as 50,000 of our own money into it over the first year or so. And we never saw it back. We never expected to see it back. It was basically a gift to a nonprofit. And
did you have to get a loan from a bank?
We actually did. When we bought 120 acres up on Stinson Lake, and we got a loan from the bank, but it was in the name of the corporation. And I had to guarantee it the first couple of years, but that program, my paycheck from that organization was $25 a year for 4 years. And it's a good program. It's going very, very well now. They've got probably 60 employees and a whole bunch of kids, and it's been running for, 30 years. Their 30th anniversary is going to be this year.
We applaud you, but we're not quite that philanthropic.
There's not a penny in my pocket out of any of that. I mean, that was just we had sold a business and we'd made out very well, and we just took 4 years and did that. But and I've been on the board ever since then. I just got off the board this year, actually. But I'd say that if you're looking, if your friend is going to be able to run a viable nonprofit where she can and she could take a paycheck, a salary as the executive director. But if she's going to run a profitable business or a viable business, rather a viable nonprofit, the only way that you can interact as an investor and perhaps have some revenue out of it is if you were, for example, to own the property and rent it to her. And keeping in mind that once you reconfigure a property to work as a group home, I mean, there's depending on the state and depending on the size of the facility, ours was actually considered a residential treatment facility, which because we had three houses initially, which is a whole different thing. And you get into all these different rules about fire and the state has rules about, different floors for different, girls and boys, and they have to be segregated and they have to be able to separate them, at night, and they have to have people on duty all the time. And so you have special requirements. But so you end up with a highly specialized facility that's much more difficult to sell in an open market if the organization goes down the tube. So those are all things to consider, Marianne.
Really encourage me.
Pardon? Well, I encourage people to do good.
I understand.
And you can do really well doing good. I mean, if you were the landlord and you can say, I'll buy the property and I'll rent it to you at a reasonable price and I'm going to make a profit on this, but it's not going to be usurious. But go into it with your eyes wide open, knowing that, you know, group homes do fail. And from time to time, in fact, I've seen a number of them fail over the years in New Hampshire, where all the years I was on the board of the New Hampshire Group Home Association. And you know, the states go in cycles, money goes in cycles, availability of money is, even though the ironic thing is that when demand for group homes is at its highest, when you have the most kids being badly abused and taken out of their parents' homes, those are the times when the states have the lowest amount of resources, because the tax revenues are down, because the economy's in the tank, and that's why the parents are beating up on their kids, is because they're unemployed and freaked out. So that's my advice, Mary. And I got to move along and get some questions for Ronnie, but, you know, go into it very cautiously, but don't think that
maybe she has some tax info if they do lose money. If I, as the owner of the real estate, would have any
no, there's no benefit to you at all. They're two completely separate, and have to be two completely separate entities. And okay. You couldn't be on their board. A board member of a nonprofit cannot benefit from being on the board of the nonprofit and having side businesses, side dealings with that. That's
right.
Against the law. So, or maybe it's against the tax code, whatever it is. It's something we never did. It's just so. Marianne, thank you very much for the call. Ronnie, you got any added thoughts on that?
No, Tom, I think you handled that beautifully. Thank you.
Okay, I can do advice talk too, I guess. We have Ronnie. We just have 40 seconds before the break, and then we got a whole bunch of calls, people with questions for you. We'll pick up on the other side of the break. But why don't you toss out one more? You had your top 10, and because we don't have time to take a whole call here. Tax advice, end of year tax advice.
Yeah, I want to focus on that wonderful business person. I would like them to buy supplies, buy equipment, buy furniture, get some more expenses if they have the income in 2008 so that they can deduct that from their 2008 tax return. Same with income. Defer income as much as you can.
Now, quick question, Ronnie. If people buy these things on their credit card, on a business Visa card in this year, but they don't pay the business Visa card until next year, when legally did that purchase occur?
When you make the purchase is when you're going to deduct it.
So even though you pay your credit card next year, you can deduct it in this year if you pay it on your credit
card. Exactly. Charge
Great.
It. Make purchases.
Good. Okay. Thank you. Ronnie Deutsch is with us. She'll be back. And I'll be back. Stick around.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Saving the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide. Weekdays 9 to noon. AM 620 KPOJ. Portland's only progressive talk station. Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Welcome back to your radio support group for We the People of the United States of America and citizens of the planet. Ronnie Deutsch with us, R-O-N-I Deutsch, D-E-U-T-C-H.com, her website, the tax expert and attorney. And Ronnie, let's take some phone calls here. You up for it?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. Mike in Queens, New York. You're on with Ronnie Deutsch, Mike.
Hi, Ronnie. Hey, Tom. I'm calling about what you said about the at your job. And taking the money out of your check. Mm-hmm. We've been doing it for years, okay? The only reason why we've been doing it for years, we got a good accountant who stays on top of what's new and what's, you know, what can be done and what can't be done.
You mean your business automatically deducts just the generic savings from your paycheck?
The savings, you want to, let's say, and you got a savings account, right? And then also you have like a Christmas account. You only spend X amount of dollars for Christmas. You can have money sent to that account. The only thing you need is the router and the account number.
That's great. That's great.
You know, I got money going through StockTrade, Scottrade. I mean, I had to split up. And lucky I did that because I've been on comp for a year. Mm-hmm. And the money helped me, believe me.
Yeah. Automatic savings. Mike, thanks a lot for that. That's good information. Good news, hey, Ronnie?
And what was so cool to hear is that he has a great accountant. He has somebody who is advising and guiding him when really we're teaching people right now in this conversation, Tom, that they can make these changes, they don't need an accountant, and they can have more money today.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Diana in Portland, Oregon. You're on with Ronnie Deutsch. Diana, what's up?
Yes. Hi. I'm active duty Army wounded warrior at home in Portland. Bought a house 2006. Husband died when I was in Iraq. I got taxes to do for 2006, 7, and now 2008. I don't even know where to begin. I am in a panic.
Wow.
Okay, so first of all, Diana, I'm sorry to hear that you've suffered such a significant loss. When it comes to taxation issues, unfortunately, the IRS doesn't have the same sensitivity levels. So what I recommend that you do, again, take that deep breath first and foremost, and know we've got to get 06, 07, and 08 filed. I would recommend that you go to my website, which is rdtc.com. You fill out the form on there or you pick up the phone. We can do your taxes over the phone, Diana. You won't have to leave your home, and you can get all of your tax matters done with all of the appropriate deductions so you get the most money back.
Now, Ronnie, I really don't want this show to be an infomercial for Ronnie Deutsch. RDTC.com, are you offering services that are significantly different than other tax preparers?
Yeah, and again, Tom, of course, we provide tax return preparation. We do it on-site at our offices or over the phone. But Diana can go anywhere in Portland to have her taxes done. The key issue is getting them done.
Get it done. Okay. Does that help, Diana?
Yeah, I'm just concerned if they're just going to take it right out of my hide, any dollars I might have left or...
I mean,
oh, and that's the other thing.
As soon as you disclose
it? With husband's probate, this deal, if I get any money back, does it end up going into probate too, all of it or part of it or what?
Well, now you're talking about another issue. If your husband passed without a will, if either of you had a trust or a will, then, of course, there are other issues to consider, but generally, probate is a very expensive process. Yes, when people die and they do not have the proper documentation, Diana, yes, it has to go through probate. But the IRS, I want to get back to that, they're not going to come after you and garnish your wages or levy your bank account unless you owe money. That's why you've got to get the returns filed so they don't prepare the return for you and then start taking money from you.
But what about, you know, once she submits the returns, she's going to owe money, and then they're going to say, aha, now we can come and get you, right?
Yes, and if she owes money, here's the good news, Diana. If you owe money to the IRS after all of your returns are prepared, the IRS has outstanding negotiation programs for people just like you, meaning if you owe $10,000, they will settle that debt for pennies on the dollar if you qualify. That is the offer in compromise program. And if you don't qualify for that, don't worry, they have outstanding payment arrangements or currently non-collectible status. So first is getting the returns done. You must get back in the system, get them done. If you owe money, it's a negotiation, and it's not the end of the world. I promise you, it can be resolved.
Does that help, Diana?
Yes, and thank you very much for your time today.
Okay, good luck, and
yes,
thank you for your service to our country, and I'm sorry. I assure Ronnie's concern about your sorrow about your loss. Thank you, Diana. Good to hear from you. Joan in Peoria, Arizona. Hey, Joan, what's up?
Yes, my husband and I have been retired now for 14 years, and we live on a very limited income. My son came to live with us approximately 9 years ago and had been employed in the construction field. And 2 years ago, as the construction started petering out, his work was not steady, and he only got an occasional job here and there. And when he was able to, he paid for his truck insurance and his medical bills. But unfortunately, his medical bills have become overwhelming now, and he has not really had what you could call a steady job, even getting one or two weeks duration at a time. And my husband and I have had to pick up his truck insurance, his medical bills, his insurance, which runs us almost $300 a month. And we're not in an income bracket that we pay taxes. And I'm wondering, is there any way that this money that we've paid out and can be substantiated on his behalf can be taken on his income, whereby he might get a return.
You know what? First of all, Joan, just hearing you speak makes me think of my mother. You have such a loving voice. Let's talk about your son. I want to get right to the issue. You cannot deduct the money that you are spending on your son. You are acting as a wonderful mother, as is your husband, a wonderful father, and you're supporting your son. But the IRS doesn't necessarily recognize that as something you can deduct or he can deduct, unless his medical expenses are so astronomical, and there are standards that the IRS has. So if your son has these astronomical medical bills, yes, he can deduct them on his tax return, but I don't think your son is making enough money that the deductions would matter. So to answer your question, I'm sorry that I can't in this moment recognize some type of IRS deduction for you or your son, unless, again, medical is astronomical, and I didn't hear that in your facts.
Yeah. That's a shame, because when you have to give up eating in order to pay medical insurance or a prescription bill, I really don't know what to do.
This is what's fundamentally wrong, though, today with our country, Joan. And again, Tom can enlighten you way more than I can on this issue. But on the tax part of it, I'm disappointed and I'm disgusted that I can't share with you something that would make you feel better. Certainly, you're being incredible by supporting your son. And I just can't find right in this second the rule that applies to you. Do you know how many parents are supporting their children right now and or vice versa because of this horrific economy, but we just don't have the code sections that state, hey, Mom, here you go. You get to deduct it all. I'm so sorry, right, Joan, to tell you that.
Joan, thank you very much for your call and best wishes for the new year. And yet, if AIG wants to treat their executives to a $400,000 spa treatment, that's probably fully deductible, Ronnie. With our money, it's absolutely crazy. Ronnie Deutsch is with us, rdtc.com, her website, and ronniedeutsch.com as well. Just a quick follow-on to Joan, and then we'll get back to our callers, 866-303-2270. Ronnie, there are, as you pointed out, there are many people who are supporting their kids. My recollection is that the only, if your child is no longer a minor, so you can't claim them as a dependent on your taxes, or is not disabled, the only tax thing that's going on is that you can give up to $10,000 a year to your children or to anybody related to you, and correct me if I'm wrong on that, and call it a gift, and it's not subject to tax on their part as the receiving body. Is that right?
Yeah, and again, you and I know we're mixing apples with oranges.
Yeah.
Certainly, you are allowed, thank God, to give gifts to anyone you want as an individual with no tax consequences.
But if that woman, if Joan, for example, had given more than $10,000 to her son by way of, for example, paying his medical bills, doesn't that become a taxable event to him then?
Yeah, isn't that pathetic, Tom? And again, the amount of the gift, I think it might even be a little higher than $10,000. I think it might even be $12,000. I'll get that number. But yes, isn't that disgusting to think that there are so many people like Joan supporting her children while AIG is out having a party and she has no tax benefit? And if it was more than above the gift exemption, he would pay taxes. This is a sick system right now.
Yeah, it really is. It's tragically broken, from our healthcare system to our tax system. Even though we differ politically, we can agree on that. Ronnie Deutsch with us, rdtc.com, her website, and back with more answers to your questions. Our phone number, 866-303-2270, and maybe we can get a couple more quick tax tips as well from Ronnie before the end of the year here, things that you can do before the year ends to diminish your tax liability. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Annoy Hannity. Listen to Hartman. Tom Hartman, nationwide. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
All right, let's get down to some direct talk from DirecTV. At a time when the cost of almost everything around you is spiraling out of control, DirecTV puts you back in control with this amazing offer that locks in your price until 2010. Right now, you can get over 150 digital channels of DirecTV for just $29.99 a month for a full year. For a limited time, ask how to get 3 free months of HBO, Stars, and Showtime. That's 28 of the best premium movie channels free for 3 whole months. Lock in your savings until 2010 by switching to DirecTV today. Don't miss out. Call today. 888-561-DIRECTV. 888-561-DIRECTV. Call right now to get over 150 digital channels of DirecTV for just $29.99 a month for 12 months. 888-561-DIRECTV. Offer ends 12/31/08 and subject to credit approval. $23 bill credit requires rebate and enrollment in auto bill pay program. New DirecTV customers only. Leasing credit card required. Other conditions apply. Call for details.
AM 620 KPOJ conducts various contests weekdays and weekends at various times, offering various prizes to its listeners. By participating in a KPOJ contest, you're agreeing to be bound by the official contest rules for the contest. No purchase necessary. Participants and winners must be U.S. residents, at least 18 years old, and may only enter one time unless otherwise stated in the complete official contest rules. Only one prize per household for any contest within a 30-day period. For complete contest rules, visit the main office of this station during regular business hours.
Men, listen carefully. If you suffer from any type of erectile dysfunction, Oregon Male Performance Clinic can help you now, regardless of your age or medical history. If you want to perform for 45 minutes, an hour, 90 minutes, or longer, call 503-443-1000 in Portland. There's no pain or surgery, just the newest available safe and effective medications given to you by one of our licensed Oregon physicians. Our doctors are so sure you'll have a positive reaction to our medication on the first visit that if you don't, it's free, guaranteed. In Portland, call 503-443-1000 now. If you want to perform for up to 90 minutes or longer, or if you suffer from PE, it doesn't matter what medications or health problems you have. If Viagra and Cialis have let you down, in Portland, call 503-443-1000 today and see why our patients now have happy, healthy, complete sex lives.
Looking for the best way to get around in severe winter weather? Then get into Car Vancouver for our four-wheel drive severe winter sale. Gas prices are falling, and so are the sale prices at Car Vancouver. Right now, drive home a new GMC four-wheel drive Yukon XL for just $32,995. That's right, cut through the weather in a fully loaded SLT Yukon XL with leather, navigation, DVD, and sunroof for just $32,995. That's over $18,000 off MSRP. Car Vancouver has hundreds of vehicles to choose from, and credit is never an issue. Good credit, bad credit, no credit. No problem. Car, Cadillac, GMC, Pontiac, Buick, where salaried salespeople see it your way. Just off SR 500 and Andreessen on 4th Plain, two blocks west of the Vancouver Auto Mall. GMC, we are professional grade. MSRP 51005. Sale price after $9,000 in rebates. VIN number 8J142178.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master?
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the karate glove. And I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-ya!
Chop wood, concrete, trees. It can even chop through these 8 guitars.
Hi-ya! Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Guess there's an upside to everything. 9.5 minutes before the hour, Tom Hartman here, brought to you by you, our listeners, supporting our show, your radio station, and our advertisers. Let them know that you're listening. Our phone number, 866-303-2270. Ronnie Deutsch with us, the tax expert, rdtc.com and ronniedeutsch.com. And Ronnie got a whole bunch of calls here. Let's see. Alan in Boulder, Colorado. You're on with Ronnie Deutsch.
Hi, how are you? I have, here's the scenario that I have. I have two kids in college right now. Tuition is just coming due mid-January. I have some UTMA funds and some UGMA funds, trust funds for the kids. I can cash in that would cover it, but obviously they're quite depressed due to the economy. I have a home equity line of credit I can use. I don't have any mortgage. I can use that. It's about a 4.8% interest. And I have a savings account, savings money, just enough to cover this next semester's tuition. I'd like to know if you can tell me the tax advantages or disadvantages of using either of those three for the tuition bill.
Okay, so first of all, congratulations that you are supporting children through college. Let's talk about what I'm attracted to as a tax attorney. I'm attracted to the home equity loan option at 4.8%. Here's why. I'm sorry that you will be incurring debt, right? We have to talk about the quick negative. It is a negative. You are incurring debt when you borrow from a home equity line of credit. But let me tell you the silver lining. It is 100% deductible on your tax return. I love home equity loans. I love the interest that you have to pay on it because you get to deduct it. That is my number one choice. Number two, I'm nervous about you cashing out your savings. I'm nervous about you cashing anything out because I believe the market will rebound. That's my own belief as a tax attorney, as a mathematician. So I like what I know with certainty. You get to deduct mortgage interest on that line of credit. I like it a lot.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Thanks, Ellen. Thanks, Ellen, for the call. I appreciate it. Barry in Fort Lauderdale. You're on with Ronnie Deutsch.
Hello?
Hey, Barry.
Hi. I have basically the same question. My son's a freshman in college. He got a 75% scholarship. He's up in Cornell. We're paying around $10,000 for the year. How much is coming out of our savings? How much can we deduct in our taxes for that?
Yeah, I'm so, first of all, congratulations again that you are supporting your son. I think it's very important for you to also look at, and the previous caller, to look at various credits. We have the HOPE credit. We have education credits. President-elect Obama is going to enact a lot of fantastic college credits for yourself and the previous caller. So I would definitely look to use tax-deductible money like home equity lines. I love the fact that you send your son to college, Cornell especially, and you get to deduct that interest. But I also love the tax credits, whether it's the HOPE. There's plenty of credits, Barry, that you can take advantage of and the previous caller. But I do not like, again, withdrawing cash savings in today's market to pay for college. I look at other means.
Right. So well,
if we take out, my house is worth about $300,000. We only have a $70,000 mortgage. So you're suggesting to take a line of credit on it?
That, again, Barry, I would recommend anything that's going to get you the best tax breaks. You only owe $70,000. Goodness gracious, what an accomplishment. I'm sorry to be adding debt to you and your wife, but you get to deduct the $10,000, the interest you're paying on that.
But, Ronnie, really, Ronnie, hang on. It seems like there's a certain, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul here. If somebody takes savings and gives it to their child, there's, you know, their $10,000 is now their child's $10,000, and that's gone, and that's, or to the college or whatever. And if they borrow $10,000 on their home and they pay interest over time, and you know, that interest is 100% deductible, they're out $10,000. Their son gets $10,000. But in that second example, the bank also makes, you know, a couple $1,000. And it's coming out of basically the IRS. Why should we be subsidizing the banking industry rather than just spending savings? What's the upside to the consumer?
Yeah, I think if you and I step back, Tom, we know we've got to create and stimulate our economy. We've got to start taking loans. We've got to start getting money flowing. So I'm a big supporter of getting that money in our system. But again, the Peter to Paul theory, you make a good balancing act point. I just like the fact that he's not taking cash from savings, which I think we need cash as king.
In other words, hang on to as much cash as you can because you never know when the credit may not be available in the future.
And you never know if the home is going to decrease in value significantly, and thereby Barry could walk. Maybe not in his example of only owing 70, Tom,
right.
But it's an important balancing act, and I respect your point about taking from Peter to give to Paul, but the IRS doesn't win in that scenario.
Does that make sense, Barry?
Yeah. Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Great. Thanks a lot for the call. Josh in Kansas City, Missouri. Hey, Josh, you're on with Ronnie Deutsch.
Hi, Ronnie. Hi, Tom. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Ronnie, I am a full-time employee, a W-2 employee, and I also, this past year, have made about 40% of my income in 1099 income. And I'm just wondering what is, I have funds set aside to pay my tax liability in April, but I'm wondering if you have any suggestions on how I can minimize my tax liability.
Yeah, first of all, Josh, the IRS will know, and I'm grateful you're bringing this up for, it's a great point. Many people have other jobs, so they are going to get a W-2 and the IRS gets a copy, and they're going to get your copies of 1099. Josh, most importantly, be honest with all of your income and adjust your W-2 if you're going to owe money on the 1099s, right? If you're claiming 3 or 4 right now on the W-2, reverse it to 0 so they take more money
right,
out so, now, Josh, and you won't owe them in
so
April.
Over-deduct. Ronnie, great. I really appreciate it. RDTC.com, RonnieDeutsch.com. Thanks, Ronnie, so much for being with us.
Tom, have a happy new year, dear. Take care, everybody.
Thank you. Happy new year, Ronnie. Coming up tomorrow, Mark Morano. Should we be able to sue big oil? Gerald Celente, director of the Trends Research Institute. And don't forget, democracy begins with you. Tag, you're it. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. For exclusive audio archives and more information, visit HartmanRadio.com.